Right. Please tell me who you are, what do you do, and why did you get into what you're doing?
Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Tori Ellis. I am a certified transformational life and business coach. And I got into what I'm doing today because I've been a serial entrepreneur and I've always wanted to give back and help people. I have my degree in psychology, so I've been really, really big on being a guiding light. And now I'm here doing that in all ways and shapes and forms, mostly holistic, so I love it that way.
And what is your story? So, what made you get into this lifestyle?
So my story is, I grew up in a family who pretty much was always in mentorship. They were definitely athletes, and definitely advocates for the youth. So with that legacy, I pretty much wanted to carry my own and make my own lane from it. So I've always been in the field of psychology from the time I started school, and I graduated with my master's in IO psychology. For business and my doctorate in human and organizational psychology. And I feel like wellness, positive psychology, a holistic way of doing things has always been my background, especially overcoming health issues my own self and still going through those moments, those down moments. So being able to balance that out and putting that into my lifestyle as a whole has definitely shaped and formed where my business and what I do today.
So, what happened in your life which made you go down this holistic path, if you don't mind sharing that?
It's not a problem at all. So pretty much on the health end, I started college. I want to say it came around college time for me. And I started college. Everything was fine. You would have thought I was just a regular typical girl. And I started having a lot of pains. And the pain started coming from my uterus and my womb area. And for years, they never knew where it was coming from, and what was the cause of it. So I want to say up until probably just last year, they end up finding a diagnosis. But with that, that required a ton of medication, going to a ton of different doctors, being told that, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm making this up in my head, or, I want to be on these pain meds. And it was just a lot of psychological stress for the most part too, and that definitely did not help the physical stress my body was under. But it took me understanding myself, understanding my body, really taking time to sit with myself and feel through what my body needs, listen to what my body's telling me, and work through that. So I started to heal myself naturally and got off all the medication, and that pretty much turned around my whole life. So now I've just been walking on that path of just trying to stay as clean with what I'm intaking in my body as possible, because I know that helps me a little bit better with, how I'm managing my own symptoms and my own stressors. So yeah.
So you're not on any meds anymore for it, or you
Nope.
are? None. And so all holistic
Yes.
therapies that you do yourself. So did they ever find out what was causing this issue growing
Yes.
up?
Yes. So in women's health, you would say it's endometriosis or adenomyosis, which is like the formation of the t like tissues going into the uterine wall, and sometimes the blood or tissue going outside of the uterus and attaching onto the uterus itself there. So it can be very, very painful, cause a lot of painful periods, very irregular periods. Sometimes it can cause infertility. So it just all depends on everyone's extremity. And it can be very, very uncomfortable. So I definitely had to, being that it was hormone based, I really had to tap into my own hormones and see exactly what fit and worked for me.
So why did you recognize any traits growing up, such as diet, stress, environment, that could have caused the initial issues? So you obviously managed to heal them, but obviously things come from somewhere. Could you pinpoint yourself what it was, or an event that happened growing up?
So I'd say probably because when I looked back at my own genetics, I knew that with family in itself too, that some women in the family struggled with some womb issues, but nothing to the extent of what I was feeling. So it was kind of new for me and for the family itself. So it was a little bit different for me to have to carry on with the little information that I did have from our family, and then be like, okay, how to apply this information to what fits for me, and then elevate it just in case. Maybe, you know, later on there are other young women in the family who come up and do have these issues. How am I going to navigate this so that way they'll be able to have the tools that they need to navigate it? So, yeah.
Was it hard at that time when you told your family that you're going to try and avoid medicine therapy and that you're going to go completely natural? And obviously the whole world's all about medicines are the only cure, got to take your meds, otherwise this and this happens. Was there a transition where you had to like battle, I call it battle Satan, where you've got the outside force saying, you've got to do this, trying to take over your mind. And you're like, no, I'm going to go within and trust myself that this is what I need to do. Did you have that situation?
With my family, I'd say no, definitely not. When it came down to the medical profession, of course, that's a little bit differently because they would want you to continue on the regimens that they had set place. And then the regimens that they had given me was always changing. So my regimen was very, very extreme. I would have debilitating pains. So I was taking ibuprofen 800 and morphine tablets, one in the beginning of the day and one at the end of the day. So I was a walking mummy, like definitely. And then I would have to go to pain management and get epidurals in my back at least, I want to say at least every 3 months. So it was a lot of stuff that was happening that they would definitely tell me I had to do. But when it came to my family and me expressing to them like, hey, this is not what I want to be on. I don't feel that great when I'm on it. The transition was like, okay, so what do we have to do to get you off of this? And what do we have to do to make sure that you stay off of it? So I definitely had the support. And I feel like one time too during my college years when I was going to therapy and the therapist out there put me on an antidepressant and then I was on the pain meds and everything, my parents came up and realized that I was really on all this medication and I was really going through it. And they stayed up there for a whole week and completely detoxed me. So I'd say my family was always a great support with making sure that I stayed more on the transition towards the holistic bend, because it was beneficial for me for sure.
So this situation is no longer present in your body?
So it is. We're not going to say it's completely gone, but we do know that it is definitely on the lesser degree. So when I say like this, these issues, whatever they had their limits or whatever doctors had put a limit on or cap on for me, I have surpassed it. When they say that it was not going to be possible for me to have children, I have a daughter now. She's my blessing. When they said, like, you know, sometimes, especially going through these things, one of the procedures in order to cure one of them would be doing a biopsy of the uterus. But that would pretty much kind of conflict with if you do any future planning. And I want to say the most extreme part of the cure for that is doing a hysterectomy, and we're not doing that no time soon. I have a few more years in my life. So I've definitely gotten it to a point where those pains are not a part of my story. Those debilitating thoughts, those feelings, those emotions that they carried, it doesn't come with it anymore. I've definitely been able to balance out my hormones. And you know, especially with a lot of meditation, a lot of grounding meditation, because I like to go outside the ground. I like to sit in front of the sun, you know, just putting in the healthy nutrients I need from the environment. A lot of that definitely has helped too. So it changed a lot. I will definitely say that.
Take me through some of your holistic, natural methods, therapies that you currently still do, that you swear by.
Okay, so I like to do my breath work. I definitely love to go outside and ground, spend a lot of time in nature. If that is me going outside, walking barefoot on the ground, or me going to the ocean and going in the ocean and letting the water just, you know, cleanse me in that way. I do like to do a lot of sunbathing, so getting the vitamin D from there. Taking it, like, you know, making sure I'm eating healthy, so having my greens and making sure that all of the stuff that I'm intaking is not filled with a lot of pesticides or even just a lot of chemicals that is foreign and not good for my body. I do want to say too, outside of that, on the not the medicinal, but I use cannabis for a lot of my pain medicine, a lot of my pain during that time as well. So I definitely found like sometimes if I need to take a gummy or if I would prefer to go in that route before I would go pick up a Tylenol or go pick up a serious pain med.
When you say breath work, obviously the different types of breath work, what's your specific routine that you do? 8-4, you know, like 12-24?
Oh, I like to do 8-4s. And then outside of that, I love sound healing. So binaural beats, guided meditations, those have definitely been like my staple pieces. Those are my go-tos first. And I've been getting more into the sound bowl healing. I love the binaural beats, but because now I'm getting more into the sound bowl healing, I am feeling like I'm going to transition to now go and get my certification for it. Because being enthralled in it and feeling those vibrations is one thing, but being able to now be a part of it and actually do it is a whole nother. And I'm ready to expand that for myself.
So believe it or not, unplanned, of course, law of attraction. I used to play 528's binaural beats in the shower. So I'd do Alexa, play 528 binaural beats, turn on the speaker in the shower. And I'd do my teeth, have a shower with this for like 5 minutes. Haven't done it in a while because I find that when you're like feeling good about something from doing it, you sort of think, oh, I'm all good now. And you get out of the routine and you stop meditating as much, stop meditating as long. And then eventually you start seeing these like, you seem a bit irritable, like something's changed. Yeah. And then you realize the importance of maintaining these methods that got you here, because even though you may have got there, you got there because of this constant work. And so I was playing the binaural beats in the shower this morning. You know, as you're mentioning it, and by you mentioning it, it's a sign from the universe for me to keep doing that again, because I swear by it. Like when I leave the house and go into, say, the supermarket, I've just got this total awareness of, I can see and know everything. Like I can just feel everyone's, I can just see everything so clear. Something to do with this sound that does something to my awareness and how I feel. It's really phenomenal how just the simple sound is so powerful. So yeah, I swear by those sounds as well. And hardly anyone knows them, but people need to really get into the science behind these beats because they are profound.
Most definitely. And two, I want to add on to that, like, you know, even before, like taking that, like you said, it's a consistent journey upward of how you continuously doing it. But then as you are opening up and being more expanded to all this information, sometimes you have to up the like the maintenance for it. So what used to maintain you before, it's not going to maintain you anymore. You have to really up that intake to match the frequency you're at now. And a lot of people don't realize that too. Just the same way they fall off is realizing that sometimes that same level you was at before, isn't it? You might got to take it up a notch because you're just continuing to evolve. Definitely.
Again, relevant to me right now. I was with my friend in the sauna spa yesterday. I always do half an hour in the jacuzzi. Obviously, when I first started to meditate when I was 21, it was like I became God. It was so powerful, right? And recently I'm doing like half an hour, but it's not having the same effect. I'm not manifesting any quicker. I'm not seeing people as soon as I think about them any quicker. And it's like, well, what's changed? I'm still doing the half an hour, right? And then my friend said he doesn't think that meditation does what it used to do. And now he's doing ice baths and he's doing breath work. And he says that breath work for him seems to be more beneficial than meditation. But if I put into practice what you've just said, it's I've been doing half an hour for like 3 years now. My body's used to it. So it means I may have to up the game to 45 minutes. Now, does that mean that my default is 45 minutes? So if I do 45, is my energy going to go higher or will it still be the same? But to maintain it, I've got to do 45 rather than half an hour. Almost like when people do drugs, they've got to do more lines of coke to get that same effect. You know?
Yeah. And sometimes it's probably not even like more time of that binaural beat. It's probably a different binaural beat that your body is craving for now. So literally you're listening to what are the needs of your body and where it is. And as your frequency is changing, just like your body is changing, it's like you're just giving it the signals that it's asking for. So you can definitely hear those tunes like, hey, this one is probably, before it probably used to put me at ease. And right now it's kind of just like, I don't want to hear that one right now. Sometimes you feel like that's not the one I need to hear. You always can have, just like you said, you always have that inkling or that feeling where it's like, this one is what's calling, or this one is definitely where I'm leaning towards. So with those hits, you you tap into that and you feel into that. And with that, you'll see how your journey with either the tool you use or the instrument that it's changing during this process that presents itself to you, then that's when you're able to go with it and definitely work with those new, either new or old, never know, and see how it works for you. Because then now this is what your body's calling for. This is the maintenance that it needs. Mm-hmm.
It's like life these days, we've developed all these patterns and bad habits, such as ordering takeaways, watching too much TV, being on our phone, maybe skipping a shower, skipping doing our teeth, just all these bad habits that have built up over time. And mm-hmm. then obviously, as we know, our lives are being affected negatively that we think is just normal, but it's as a result of doing all these bad habits. To reverse it, people have to do the opposite and do all these small things that by themselves don't seem much. Playing like a 528 hertz for 5 minutes on the train or before bed, meditating, doing 5 minutes of breath work, just having less processed food and like making your own food. All these things individually don't seem much, but collectively, mm-hmm. they will change your whole body, just like all these small things, bad habits like eating shitty food, getting an hour less sleep. All these things have added up over time. And mm-hmm. I see so many people that are stuck in bad habits. And I'm like, if only you could do this. But then you can't make people or even tell people to do that because they don't know that this exists. That's their life. That's what everyone around them does. Have McDonald's for lunch. Set an alarm at 6, go to bed at 12, feel tired, have a Red Bull. People don't understand this life. And it is painful to see so much pain where you can like help people. But one of the lessons I've learned is only recently, like it's only been really ingrained in me. Unless somebody wants to be helped, don't bother. Like you can give them like the spoon,
mm-hmm.
but they have to eat it themselves. And I'm always like, try it, you'll like it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. no, saying try it, you'll like it, that is the problem. If they mm-hmm. want to eat that, they will.
Mm-hmm.
And really truly surrendering to only, to not giving unsolicited advice unless it's asked, because right. people have to want to change. And if they don't want to change, sadly, that extra breath of, go on, you'll love it. You really are wasting your time because they're doing it because you've said it and they go on then. They don't want to. You know, they want to please you, but they're doing it to please you, not because they want to try that food because it might taste nice, etc.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think the saying that I was using was you can bring the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink it. And you know, sometimes too, like I find like sometimes you want to be. Because you know how good it feels for your body and because you know the changes, it's like you would want someone to feel that same goodness you do and you want to share that. And sometimes it's like, you know, if they don't want to receive that, they're not open to receiving that information or even just that insight. It's like, you know, you have to just let people and allow people to be where they are and then understand that that's perfectly okay. This is their season to be there. Maybe in the next season, they want to be a little bit more open to, you know, what it is that you were saying, or maybe you're not the messenger for them to tell it. Someone else is the messenger for them. It's so many different parts and play like things that play in that role, but definitely like not everyone wants to be open to it, but those who are, and when they do go and become like, do take that step, their life is forever a change.
It's yeah. like, you know, we're all grown up at different times in our life, different planets, different school systems, different government systems, different, mm-hmm. like 10 years ago, there wasn't phones. Now there's phones. So everything's governed by devices. Everything has a different environment. You know, a tree in the middle of Spain has got different nutrients compared to a tree in the middle of England, right? So therefore it's going to be different. And realizing that, you know, people are on their own journey. Some people, they may take 60 years to take that spoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people, if they're ready for it right now, will just grab that spoon and they're off.
Yeah.
And really knowing that people will get there when they're ready. Like I gave mm-hmm. a book to a neighbor and I said, you know, it's about diet and he's going through diet issues. And he said to okay. me, he's not going to read it because he hasn't read the last book. And the old me will be like, you should definitely read it. Trust me, you know, trust me, it's going to change your life. He mm-hmm. says, no, I'm just going to give it back. And I said, okay, no problem. And truly surrendering to people will grow and change in their own time because we're all from a different root, absorbing different environmental nutrients and surroundings. And even though they're next to us, even though the tree is next to us and you've got your best friend next to you and your family next to you, again, they were born maybe a year later, 2 years later. A lot changes in years. Planets can piss off in years, right? Everything's changing. And truly knowing that helps you go through life without kind of bombarding unsolicited advice from people, which I used to do. I've really learned not to, because as much as my intention is to help, you're really wasting your time, sadly.
Yeah, and it could sometimes come off not as helping. It can be kind of annoying to the other person. But also too, to that extent, like, you know, because we want them, and from what I've learned, because we want them to, you know, take this in right away, we have to realize too, maybe their journey may be really expedited, because what had took, if we started taking this in probably a few years ago and got to this point now, and we had to go through a few couple of steps, they probably could have take this spoon tomorrow or take the spoon next year. And then they're having the same kind of conversation with the same understanding of us in a matter of 6 months to a year, just depending on their makeup and depending on their journey. So everyone's journey is different. So who's to say, you know, if you're doing it longer or shorter than the other, that means that you're more advanced or not. It's literally just how that person is taking it in and how that person is understanding and digesting that information, because that is their makeup. So definitely another part of, you know, just allowing people that space to make those decisions and to like not force them on it. And that goes hand in hand with, you know, allowing them to be where they are without judgment. Because when we were in that space at one point, we didn't want to hear it either. So I definitely hold no judgment, because at one point my ears were off, and I'm very aware of that. They were very off. I wasn't hearing it. It wasn't time for me to hear it. But once I did, oh man, forget about it. Yeah.
So what would you tell people who are in a situation where they've got a situation issue in their body, medication either isn't working or they don't want to rely on medication forever? Because for me, the fear of relying on even a dentist to fix my tooth, if the world goes to shit and there's no dentist and I've got a hole in my tooth, I mean, I've got a hole in my tooth forever. That's scary. So I want to be totally responsible for everything. So if somebody wants to go down the natural route of healing holistically, what would you say to them to start that journey from man-made medicine to natural medicine?
I say to do it definitely gradually. You know, some people can do cold turkey. I was one of those people to do cold turkey because I wanted a drastic change. I was on some heavy, heavy medication. So I knew exactly that I needed to get this out of my system, because the medication can be very addictive. But knowing too that when you were going through that transition, there's different symptoms that you may go through, whether it's profuse sweating or, you know, your body's trying to get it out in so many different ways. And this is what they would say is with withdrawal, right? So I would say ease into it, but definitely lean into what your body is saying and become more familiar with understanding your body. So a lot of times when you sit in meditation, they're telling you in guided meditation, you're listening to your body or you're feeling where the energy is moving. In that same sense, sit with your body too. Sometimes it's just a matter of breaking down, like, you know, when those cravings pop up, like, hey, I want to go get McDonald's. We're going to use it as an example. I want to get McDonald's. So what are you going to get from McDonald's? Typically, I'll go get me some nuggets. I'm using myself. But what is it that I want to feel when I'm going to get the McDonald's? At that point, I probably want to feel a fried food, which means I'm trying to find some comfort. Like, I'm looking for something comfortable. I'm looking for something quick, looking for something familiar. It's going to give me that salt intake that I need. So then that means that probably something in my body's lacking. Probably my blood pressure is too low. Maybe I need something to intake, like, for my blood. Like, I probably need some avocados if I'm craving that. So literally it's a matter of seeing exactly where it is you're craving, because the smallest things that you're craving can also go into hand in hand with how you're feeling emotionally too. Like, so sometimes they always say chocolate is great for you, right? And they say chocolate mends a broken heart. Chocolate is healthy for you, but then chocolate also is sweet. It also definitely is comforting. So when you're going through a breakup, chocolate's comforting and gives you that sweetness. It gives you that comfort that you need. The cues that your body is telling you based off of the food that it's craving or based off of anything that it's craving, it can definitely signal you in which way to sway for what your body's asking for. So I would say listening to those things and to just break it down a little bit further, like, okay, what emotion am I really feeling and why am I feeling this? Because then you might get to the root of the feeling. And then you might get to the root of understanding, like, hey, I could find a healthier alternative to that craving. And then that's when you start switching out mental and then the physical. And then it turns out that it just comes a whole picture. So it takes some time, but I'd say start with that.
Yeah, when I came off my Tourette's medication at 21, I did cold turkey. I just 10 years on it, came off it. I remember one of the things that was going on was I just suddenly started to sweat everywhere. I was getting rashes, like my armpits were sweating. And it was like, I didn't realize that it was to do with the coming off the medication. But looking back, if sweating is one of those symptoms, and I was sweating, and what was happening is it was sweating it all out. So that I didn't actually link to that. I should have linked it, but I didn't. So yesterday I went and just got some, I just fancied a KFC, right? And I always feel shit after I have crappy food, right? Whether it's McDonald's cheeseburger because of all the crap in the bread, the salt in the beef. I got some chicken nuggets, they were fried, and I felt sick for hours. And I never feel sick, and I only feel sick when I have crappy foods. And I said to myself, why did you do this? You know you feel shit. And again, it was like, what was I really feeling, you know? Was it just a thought in my head, or did I want to feel something else, such as a connection? Am I lacking in meditation? Like, what am I really feeling? So it's interesting. Next time I get this urge to eat some shitty food that I know I'm going to feel shit after, I'm going to think, okay, what am I really wanting right now? And actually, I think I was just bored because I've gone to the spa. There's nothing to do for the rest of the day. Did all I need to do in the morning. It's like, what am I going to do? And so you kind of want this high. It's not a high. I felt shit after, but yeah, that's another good point. If people are going to reach for something like a comfort food, think, well, what are you actually seeking? If you're depressed and you want to order some Deliveroo, right, or KFC or McDonald's, what you really want is maybe not the food, because you've got food in the fridge. You want this extra feeling of, like, I don't know, dopamine, adrenaline, something that makes you feel good, this rush of sugar and salt. Like chocolate, yeah, as much as cocoa is good for you, there could be like the amount of sugar in a can of Coke that can be in a bar of chocolate. Before you know it, you've basically had a whole can of Coke or two. So, yeah, scary.
Yeah. And just find those alternatives, because then now you're being consciously aware of your body, you're being consciously aware of what your emotions are asking for, and then consciously aware of what you're intaking. So now you're doing a three-step to probably one thing that you would pick up and just like randomly do. And it becomes such a habit. Now it's like, all right, I know if, like, say if my menstrual's coming and I'm just like, I really want, like, I'm just... It's the point where your taste buds change, you know? So now it's like, oh man, I really want avocados. And then I know it's because my iron is low. So now it's like, you want the avocados to build up your iron, okay. And then, like, if you're craving bananas, like, your potassium is low. It's literally like just certain things, you find the natural remedies for it, because everything has a frequency on it. And not for nothing to speak on it, when you go to a lot of public places, sometimes I'm really particular too on the place I'm going to, because the energy in the food, outside of just the energy in the food that may not be healthy, the person who's making the food too, if they're in a very, very negative place,
yes,
their moment, and then they're making your food, that energy is transferring, and then you're intaking it in your body. And then you now feel like crap, but then you're not understanding why you may be feeling like crap, and not considering, hey, this is not even the energy that I had when I was starting, like, this is not my energy. And sometimes to even navigate that and realize, like, shoot, I done picked up on someone else's energy. Oh my goodness. Sometimes having that awareness too changes the game, because it's like, okay, now I need to know how to separate myself from that. How do I transmute that and be like, you know what? this is not my energy. How are we gonna fix it? So that takes another step up.
Sure, I've never ever thought about it before. Obviously, I've been in a restaurant and the chef's fucked up, and you think, oh, he's having a bad day, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think the stress and how the chemicals, what's the chemical stress? Cortisol. Science has proven that if you're in an office and somebody's stressed, cortisol particles is being released, like in droplet form, out of the room, out of their like their sweat, and people are picking up the cortisol stress. So if you've got some pissed off mad chef who hasn't had his break, right, he's making that food stressed and he's angry, well, the avocado he's chopping is going to be absorbing all the cortisol particles, whatever. It's going to be absorbing his negative energy, and you're going to be absorbing that negative energy. And you're right, if you're suddenly eating food and you feel like this nervous, sickening energy, which I only feel when I've eaten something bad or when something in the future is coming that I don't know. So it's my body saying, okay, there's something happening here, like something's wrong. But yeah, I've never thought about that before, because I used to work in a restaurant and I know when the chefs are angry and pissed off and stressed, but I've not thought, can people feel their stress in their food? And the same as when, you know, a cow gets butchered, if it's stressed, the beef is going to be tense. The muscles are going to be tensed, right? So, you know, you want a cow to be in the field, relaxed, eating grass, chilling, walks into its thingy thinking, oh, I'm going to get milked. And then, you know, off he goes. But again, it all makes completely sense, but I've never thought about that.
I just love how you put that. Yes, but yeah, no, everything plays a role. And when people can realize that energy is a very big part of just the everyday and how you interact, how people interact with you and the energy that you pick up, you'll be like, okay, you'll start to realize like, hey, I probably need to come home and do like probably sage and clear my energy, or probably come home and do like a shower and cleanse off the energy for the day, because you're not just carrying your own. And as an empath, you pick up energy way more faster than other people's, and you're a little bit more sensitive sometimes. So that in itself plays a part. So you have to do a little bit more maintenance for yourself to just keep yourself even keel without having those super, super high drastic moments or those super lows. You definitely have to do some maintenance for yourself.
Yeah, my partner said the other day how I lack empathy, and I had to explain, it's not that I lack empathy, I'm so in tune to everyone else's pain that I simply have to block everyone else's pain, because I will absorb that as if it's my own pain and I'll just never leave the house. So it's not that I lack empathy. It's I'm well aware of the energy. I can see what you can't see. Like you see someone's crying, I see energy coming off them. So even just sort of saying, how are you? You okay? I'm now in that space. When they speak, it's being projected onto me. I'd love to come for everybody, but again, you've got to protect your energy. And when you are an empath, you pick up the smallest things like it's a fucking tsunami. And so you have to protect yourself. It's one before two. And then when you're okay, then you can help as many people. But in that situation, you've got to put you first, because you kind of, you've done the work to get to where you are. And again, if it affects you negatively helping somebody, you shouldn't do it. If it doesn't affect you, help as many people as you want. But that's also an interesting thing.
Yes, work with what works for you, and definitely feel through your body. Your body is your messenger and it's always communicating with you. You have three stomachs, well, three hearts, I'd say. It's your brain, your heart, and your gut. And each one is telling you different things, but when they're all aligned and they're all expressing it to you, you're able to be like, okay, I know that this is where I need to go and this is how I'm walking in my journey for today. And it may not be the same journey tomorrow, but just knowing like, hey, this is what my body needs in this exact moment, and giving the body and giving yourself what you need in that moment, especially with from a place of love, and you're doing that, then now you're fueling yourself for the next day and to help other people in that same way, because you're teaching yourself how to love on you, and then you're teaching other people how to love on you too. So it's an interesting thing. Definitely interesting.
Okay. Anything you want to promote or end with before we finish?
Well, like I said, my name is Dr. Ellis. I am a certified transformational life and business coach. I do have some coaching available, so my spots are open. You can go to my website, thesoundofbusiness.org, and if you was to put in the code TRANSFORM, you'll get $200 off of your coaching. So definitely book us a call with me, see if we make a great fit, and let's transform out here.
Cool. Anything else you wanna finish with this last minute?
Yes, Oliver, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity, for this platform. You are a guiding light in what we need today in this world. So thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this platform. And thank you for just being you.
Thank you very much. Ditto. I appreciate your story and coming on. And yeah, I'll end this call and then we'll say goodbye. One second.